Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday, which means it's time for the coach approach. This is a time where me and Ant from 49ers Cutback get together and try to look at this 49ers matchup and kind of stay to the 49ers from a coaching angle. Ant, how are we doing? How are we feeling about today's show, man?
Yeah, feeling good. You know, anytime you come off a win, you're feeling good. Anytime you come off a primetime win, you're feeling great. And I think anytime you come off a win where you beat a team that was kind of surging, making some moves, I think you're feeling very, very good. And I think that, you know, there were all those emotional questions. What's going to happen with this team with Fred Warner? You know, is Fred Warner's absence going to hurt them emotionally? We didn't see an emotional drop off at all. These guys stepped up. They played hard. The young guys played with enthusiasm. It's exactly what you want to see from a team that's very injured. It's when guys are capable, they step up, and then they bring the energy with it. I loved it. I thought it was such a fun game to be a part of. And now it's like looking ahead. It's like we got winnable games coming up that the 49ers can win and kind of keep the pressure on the rest of the NFC as they're sitting at number two. Who would have thought 49ers number two with all the injuries?
Man, it's, you know, one of my favorite, like, power rankings are cool. And I love, like, arguing power rankers, but they're 100% like, subjective. Like, you can manipulate those however you want. Now, Vegas, they don't put out, but you can, based on the betting markets, put out where the teams are based on the Vegas betting, whatever. This segment sponsored by Chauncey Billups. But the whole idea of where Vegas sees neutral teams versus everybody else, right? And so, like, every week I go and I look at that just to see where the Niners fit. They have seven games against teams that are lower, according to the Vegas Moneyline, Vegas spreads, on their schedule. Now, obviously, they're not going to win all seven of those, but I think that that is a true indicator that seven games below, three games above. If you win the games you're supposed to win, I mean, shoot, that's 12 wins. That is a very real possibility just based off of the betting markets. And we talked all offseason, like, you finish fourth place in the NFC West, you get to play a fourth place schedule. The Niners are in the middle of, you just went through the worst stretch where you had Jags, Bucks, Rams, Falcons. That's the toughest slate on the entire schedule. There's no more difficult spots like that. So I don't know. When you look at the rest of the season, Ant, what do you feel with playoff expectations and kind of where the Niners fit? How do you wrestle with that whole kind of macro of what's left with the 49ers season?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the schedule, it's pretty favorable. And we knew it was going to be a favorable schedule, but things change as the season goes on, right? Teams get hot. Some teams fall off. Injuries always make a big difference. But here we are sitting, you know, towards the middle of the season, and you look up and you're like, no, not only are playoffs a real possibility, but shooting for something higher, even getting, you know, a number one, number two seed is within grasp if you can continue to play well. The defense is playing good. Mac Jones is playing good enough. You still got a lot of players that are waiting to come back that could help tip you and push you in a positive direction. We already saw the impact of George Kittle coming back. Been playing without a starting left guard, been playing without a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball. I think there's an opportunity for the 49ers to do some damage. And what nobody in the NFC wants, and this is the scariest part, no one in the NFC wants the 49ers to get the number one seed somehow and have home field advantage, not just through the playoffs, but the Super Bowl. And especially if somehow number 54 figures out how to come back and comes running on the field for a divisional playoff or an NFC championship game, energy-wise, you're going to get cooked. Nobody wants that, and that's what everyone's afraid of. They got to stay ahead of the 49ers.
Yeah, I like that. I like, man, having the Super Bowl in your home field, oh, that would be huge, man. That would be huge. Plus, you know, if the possibility of Fred Warner coming back, that would be huge. So let's talk injuries. You look at, okay, Spencer Burford, practice window open, which is huge with a couple of injuries to the offensive line. They release Trevis Gibson, bring him back to the practice squad. They sign Robert Beal to the 53, Stone Blanton to the practice squad. Let's start with those moves, Ant. Talk to me just a little bit about this defensive end rotation. Why sign Robert Beal Jr. to the 53 and then put Trevis Gibson on the practice squad after this Bryce Huff injury? I've got a little bit of an idea, but I want to know your take on this. Why do the shuffling at the defensive end spot now?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting, but I do think they believe Robert Beal Jr. is the better of the two players. And I think that really they put him on the practice squad because he was still dealing with the ankle injury. If he didn't have the ankle injury, he never would have got put, you know, released and then put on the practice squad. And Trevis Gibson is been competing, but he hasn't been producing. And I think they want to stop the run. And when you look at Robert Beal Jr., that's what he does as a base defensive end. So I think that that is the main motivation for it. And I think that's going to be important for the 49ers right now because John Lynch went on KNBR and he said, hey, we're going to weather the storm. We're going to let this thing play out until Bryce Huff comes back. So it doesn't look like they're going to do anything big. They believe that they've got the horses right now inside the clubhouse. And I think it's a smart way to go about it because you don't want to be a trigger-happy GM and just pull the trigger and pick up somebody and lose some draft capital that you need down the road. When you can kind of let this thing play out and let a good deal come your way, you're going to eventually add to the defensive end room, but no reason to push it right now. You're finding ways to win. And until you don't, why do anything big?
Yeah. And look, the whole, and I got a lot of people that were kind of upset because Trevis Gibson's like one of the few guys getting pressures. What does Robert Saleh put at the utmost importance? Stopping the run. That's not Trevis Gibson's game. Bryce Huff was a situational pass rusher whenever the season started, but Etur Gross-Matos goes down, Nick Bosa goes down, you're having those injuries. Well, now he's got to play the run. Actually did a really good job out there, but you got to stop the run first. Robert Beal, head and shoulders better than Trevis Gibson in that area. I would also say way better in special teams as well. Trevis Gibson and didn't have the best special teams tape back-to-back weeks, if I'm going to be very honest with you. So the consistency there, I think that's important. And I fully expect Trevis Gibson to be elevated this week and to be one of those guys that is a pass rusher, but you can't run. What's the Robert Saleh quote? You got to earn the right to rush the passer. And so you can't focus on pass rush at the sacrifice or giving up stopping the run game. That is what has been everything for the 49ers defense. And yeah, Khalil, he says, you know, solid play, musical chairs at defensive end. It's crazy that Sam O, I thought, was one of the better performers last week. And just an undrafted free agent transplant that is now a pivotal piece of this first place NFC West defense. What are your thoughts on Sam O and what he's put on tape so far this year?
Yeah, I thought he's done good. You know, and the thing that you know about Sam O is you're going to have consistent motor. He motors. He continues to push. He continues to work. And that usually ends up producing in the long run. And that's a lot of times why he gets his plays, because he doesn't give up. First move doesn't work. Second move doesn't work. It doesn't matter. He finds a way. He's not a hole shot guy. He's not a guy that's going to win with great technique. He's going to win with great effort. And I like that about him. And I think that his overall skills, pass rushing, have gotten better and better as he's been playing in Chris Kocurek's system. And you're kind of seeing that. And so I think he's been opportunistic when it comes to rushing the passer. I've seen him make more plays in the run game, especially with hustle, running things down. And so, yeah, he's done a really good job. 49ers got a find there with Sam Okwuonu. I just wish that he was still on the Bravo unit, because that would mean this defense was even, you know, supremely better. But he's doing a good job, and he's holding it down right now, and that's exactly what the 49ers need off the edge.
The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. during any of the 2026 NBA playoffs. Live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup, that's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup, Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouthwatering steak burgers. That's 4 of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Now, if we look at Wednesday's practice report, so again, we're recording this Thursday morning. We haven't got the Thursday practice report out yet, but here are the players that did not practice. Diamador Lenore, quad. Ricky Pearsall still with the knee. Jake Brindle, Bryce Huff, Etur Gross-Matos, and then 2 rest days for Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams. Now, the limited players, Brock Purdy, Renardo Green, Spencer Burford, Upton Stout. When you look at kind of this rotation, do you think Demo goes? Because if not, you're already up to backups on the other side. Are we looking at a Darrell Luter Jr., Renardo Green outside corner spot? Do you think Demo plays? Where are you? Because I don't know how to decipher this one.
Yeah, I think Demo's going to play. You know, KMBR, John Lynch said it's a bruised hamstring. So you got to, you know, those bruises hurt. And so it takes time to kind of let those things play out, stretch it out. You know, that's what John Lynch was referring to as well. Yeah, you kind of got to do some work on it, some soft tissue work, and then you just got to give it some time, and then you kind of work through it. You go out there and you run and everything, but it doesn't do anything to hurt you besides just dealing with the pain. Demo's going to be up for the challenge. I think he's going to be ready to go. But the good news is you have Darrell Luter Jr. if you need him, and he didn't play that bad last week. I don't think it was a really great game, but I thought it was a good game. It was solid. He helped in run. He came up and made some plays. Some pretty good coverage as well. And Robert Saleh went man cover sometimes with Darrell Luter Jr. out there, and he held his own. So tip the cap to Darrell Luter Jr., and I think now we feel pretty comfortable that we got a third guy on the outside that can get it done if you need him to.
Yeah, I like that. We are going to talk some O-line later, so we're going to get to some Hennessy stuff. Oh, look at this. Johnny Dale, the house. Can't stay long, but wanted to come by and say you guys are awesome. Wish I could be out there with y'all this weekend. Dude, you're the best, Johnny. I know you're worried. I know Johnny's got two shows I saw earlier today. I retweeted his stuff out there. But, Johnny, keep doing the work, man. You are the best of the best. And speaking of Oscar, appreciate everybody in the chat. All the hashtag CCs for the Countdown crew. All the hashtag TCCs. For the Cutback crew, I freaking love it, man. This community is second to none. Oscar says, good morning, guys. Would like to know if Saleh could and should run a 5-2-4 press defense. Oh, I freaking love it. The 4-3 over is basically that. Like the 4-3 over where you put Gifford up there. Now you've got a linebacker, so that's your five-man quote-unquote defensive front. You stole that from the Rams with how they used to defend you back in, I think it was the 2021 NFC Championship game. But I don't think they're going to shift too much. The main shift that I see taking place personnel-wise defensively is a more reliance on defensive tackles. You've been, I mean, the first month of the season, you had four defensive ends out there on your NASCAR packages. Now it's down to three. I think we're back down to two. We might not see any NASCAR packages. You might have pass rush situations, two DTs, two DNs. You just ain't got the bodies out there. How do you see Robert Saleh manipulating the personnel packages to fit this major stacked injured room at the defensive end position?
Yeah, I think they're going to add some D tackles. You know, I think the Kevin Givens addition, you know, there's a true pass rushing defensive tackle. They've been using Alfred Collins to just try to get a push up the middle of the field. He's been doing a pretty good job with that. So I do think there's going to be a mixture with that. I thought Jordan Elliott had a really good game last week generating pressure, and that's where you want to get pressure on C.J. Stroud. But what I love what he's been doing is still being able to put Mikel Williams inside. You have the flexibility to run a lot of these line stunts, these TE stunts, and Alfred Collins and Mikel Williams were tearing it up for each other, really helping each other create opportunities to flash in the face of Michael Penix Jr. And so I like the line stunts. I like the bringing the linebackers up. Tatum Bethune did really good when it came to blitz looks and coming around the corner. He got robbed of a half sack, and so he was frustrated. I think that they're doing a good job, and I do think the defensive tackles continue to grow, but I think your pass-rushing defensive tackles are really Kevin Givens and Jordan Elliott, and I think those guys will get some more opportunities with the injuries, but I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, a few packages still where you get Mikel Williams inside. I think it's important to keep Mikel Williams inside and some of the things he can do in there helping everybody else.
Yeah, I'd like that too. Now, we did get some more good news from John Lynch. He was asked about, man, is Brandon Ayuk even going to play this week? He said, quote, he's getting closer to return. We do expect him to play. What are your thoughts just on Brandon Ayuk? And real quick in the chat, Houston NRG Stadium does have a synthetic turf, so it is not actual grass. So just trying to answer that question. But what were your thoughts just on Brandon Ayuk? Do you think we'll see him? Are we staying with that November kind of timeline that most of us had at the start? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm still sticking with it. I think we're, you know, probably a 2 or 3 weeks away from them potentially opening his practice window. That would mean, you know, it's another 6 weeks away from him coming back potentially. I think when they open it, though, they're going to be pretty much ready to bring him back. And I do think it's going to happen. I know people have started pushing this thing out to the bye week, but I think as long as Brandon Ayuk's ready to go, I mean, we're coming up. It's been, you know, 12 months basically since Brandon Ayuk got hurt. I think that's the appropriate timeline for him to come back. And I think John Lynch's comments kind of lean towards that. I wouldn't be shocked if for him to come back at any time. And man, boy, would that be a big lift to the 49ers offense if you got Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall back in the next, you know, month or so. You know, Pearsall first, then Brandon Ayuk. I think that would be huge.
Could use them. Add in some Brock Purdy. Oh, now we're talking. What's up, Phil? Appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. Hashtag CC, hashtag TCC. My favorite podcasters extraordinaire, and Phil, and for everybody that's part of the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon, we're going to be having our Zoom hangout that we do once a month next Wednesday. I don't know what the day is. I haven't made the link for that yet. It's been pretty busy. But the 29th is going to be our, I know, Phil, you're part of that. So next 29th, 5:30 p.m., that's going to be the 49ers Rush Zoom hangout. We'll check in on the Niners, all things Niners. I'm pretty excited about that. So let's talk some offensive line. We've waited. Now, the 49ers got a little tricky last week They rotated in Nick Sakel with Connor Colby. Wasn't an injury. It was kind of weird. I was like, why is 63 out there? What's going on? And then all of a sudden, two plays later, Jake Brindle gets hurt. Then they said, well, we don't want our two centers out there. So then they put Connor Colby back in there. Talk to me about this left guard rotation. Then I want to talk center after that.
Yeah, I think it got interesting. You know, I think that news coming out from Nick Sakel, I thought it was already interesting. They elevated him. And then, oh, wait, Nick Sakel was supposed to rotate. It means that they're not completely sold on Connor Colby and what he's putting on film right now. And I think that's a legitimate conversation to have. I'm not sure Nick Sakel is the guy that I want rotating with Connor Colby, but Nick Sakel's the better pass protector of the two. Connor Colby's the better run blocker of the two. And I think that was evident in the four snaps that Nick Sakel got. He didn't look great. You know, I mean, on the toss play, yeah, you can give up ground, but then, you know, I think it was like a couple plays later, Kyle Juszczyk literally ran through him because he didn't get any movement on his defensive tackle and it ruined the play. So I'm not sure Zakel's the guy and the answer at left guard, but I think that they are not completely sold on Connor Colby, and that's to be expected. This young guy has a lot of development still to go. There's a reason he was a seventh round pick. Now, I do believe he's got potential down the road to develop into a consistent starter. Right now, there's not consistency, and that's why Spencer Burford's window being opened is pretty interesting, because Kyle Shanahan said early on Spencer Burford would have been in the mix for the left guard spot if he didn't get injured. So that's something to remember as the 49ers move forward. Maybe a rotation of Connor Colby and Spencer Burford could be coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I would not mind that, because Ben Barsh might be back. But, man, Spencer Burford at left guard, I feel like Connor Colby's kind of outplayed Dominique Pooney at points this year. And so, like, I'm like, man, I'm fine letting him just get a set back and trying to see what that is. But I don't know. Sol says, any Niner rally today? I do not know of one, but I will always say this. If you ever have a get-together event, Niner Faithful chapter, whatever, international, don't give a damn, email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com, or tag us on social media. We will share that every time. So I don't know of a Niner rally that's taking place today, Thursday, but if there is one and somebody else knows, please let me know so that I can put that out there. One of the cool things about our platform is we can help spread the word on those things. And all things 49ers community, that's what we're about. There's a reason why I record with Dan every week, because he's a good damn dude that loves the Niners, knows what he's talking about. He's just a good damn dude. And so I want good people to be together. Now, if you are coming to Houston this week, it's going to be crazy. You got to come party with us. We got a rally set up on Saturday and the tailgate on Sunday. Come join us right here. Join us in Houston for probably one of our biggest parties we have ever hosted. We are going to be on the 25th of October at the Social Beer Garden HTX with Frank Gore, Wayne Breezy, Travis King, Eye of the Niner. Going to be one of the biggest parties we've ever hosted. Likely to sell out. Please don't wait to get tickets. Then the day of the 49ers Texans game, we rented out a 3-story parking garage so that we can control everything. We do have parking available for an additional fee, which you can get on the app. And we open an hour before all of the other lots. So you can get there early, you can stay late. And if you want to, you're not going to be buying tickets and you want to enjoy the game, we'll have TVs up there so that you can stay and party during the game if you want to do that. If you want to go in like I'm going to, that's available for you as well. So do not wait. Go get your tickets at 49ersrushroadtrip.com or get them on the TickPick app. Just search 49ers Rush or follow the link in the description of this video podcast. Come party with us. It is going to be legendary. All right, now let's switch it over to the center position. I have not been one of Jake Brindle's, I don't know, apologists? Is that the right way to say it? I don't know. What are your thoughts? And right here, Big Tone says, I know how John feels about Jake Brindle, but does the film show you that you got that much elevated play from Hennessy? Looks like a smaller guy. What are your thoughts just on how Matt Hennessy played in the center position and kind of what you expect moving forward?
I thought Matt Hennessy played well. You know, I didn't think it was a clean sheet. That's for sure. There were some things that happened where he kind of had some moments where he struggled. But, you know, I thought he played competent NFL caliber play. That's for sure. Now, one of the things I want to take a pause on, because I think there was a big push right away for Matt Hennessy to be the starter from here on out, is Jake Brindle played really good in the quarter and a half that he played. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't, once again, elite play, but it was good. So I want to kind of take a wait and see approach with Matt Hennessy and see if we get consistent play over the next 2 weeks against different type of competition at the center's position. If he holds up, then it's a real conversation with Jake Brendel. But if not, then you kind of get your answer. But I thought that this matchup was good for the smaller, lighter center, which both Jake Brendel and Matt Hennessy are. And so I thought Hennessy played well, and I think that's good for the 49ers. But, you know, I don't know if it means right away that Matt Hennessy is going to be the starter for the rest of the season. In fact, I think Chris Foerster will probably go back to Jake Brendel no matter how well Matt Hennessy plays. But I do think it'll be interesting to see how he does over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, there's the Shanahan loyalty program, which is like, you know, all the way up here. Then there's Chris Foerster, who is even more beloved and loyal to his players. And like you talked about the small guys. Well, you look at the defensive line of the Houston Texans, you could argue it's the best in the NFL. Like Sheldon Rankins and Tim Settle are like two of the best of the best whenever you're looking at defensive tackles. Like, and they are not small. Like, this is a beast defensive line. It's funny because whenever I look at the Texans, I'm like, okay, maybe the worst offensive line in football, maybe the best defensive line in football. Like, it's just really interesting the way that they have put that together. And so, yeah, I do not expect Matt Hennessy to have a good game. I do not expect it. I don't expect a lot of the offensive line to have a good. This is the number one defense in the NFL. So let's transition a little bit. Let's talk just a little bit about this matchup. How do you see this playing out with, man, can the 49ers even keep the run game going against the Texans? You finally saw it, but man, this defensive line, Z's, they've got run stuffing safeties. They are tough as hell. How do you see this shaking out with the 49ers offensive line and run offense against this Texans defense?
Yeah, you know, Seattle found success last week on the ground against Houston Texans, and that's not easy to do. I think that D'Amico Ryans is always a runs first, you know, stopping defense. They're going to come in trying to stop Christian McCaffrey. They're going to put the onus on Mac Jones. They're going to do the same things that Robert Saleh wants to do. They want to earn the right to rush the passer on third down, and they have an elite defense on third down. 32% of the time, they stop you from getting only 32% allowed. Completely said that wrong. Insto, reverse it, back to it. But anyways, I just think that this defense is so good on third down that it's going to be tough for the 49ers if they play a run pass type of thing. They're going to have to take what the defense gives. They're really going to have to be motivated to get the ball out and move the football around. But I do think that they can find some success running the ball. I don't think it's going to be as simple as this Texans defense is going to shut down the 49ers run game. I do think George Kittle's added a lot to this run game, and I think that they can find some windows and opportunities, but kind of change your expectations from what you saw last week to probably closer to around 100 yards. Can you get 100, 115 yards, find balance in your offense? I think that's the key for the 49ers.
Yeah, that's there. It's sorry. Saul says, where's the event on Saturday at? It's at the Houston Social Beer Garden, HTX. It's huge. We're going to have a lot of people there. It's going to be a blast. So come out and join us. And that's always up. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. If you can't remember anything else, that's where our events are going to be. So, okay, cool. So let's stick with that then. And if the 49ers, you know, aren't going to be able to do their run game, I think this is going to kind of go back to how the rest of the season has gone, where you got to be a little bit pass heavy. So, like, let's start there. More pass attempts or rush attempts for the 49ers offense this week?
I am going to go with rush attempts. Even though I don't think it's going to yield as much results as last week, I still think Kyle wants to get around 35 rush attempts in this game. And I think that the pass will be really close. I think it's going to be pretty close to balance this week for the 49ers. You know, kind of that 60 to 65 plays, maybe 30 pass plays, 35 run plays. That's the kind of the way the 49ers want to win.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because, you know, right here, Vita says, anybody know how Texans rank against the pass? They are first in passing touchdowns. They are fifth in passing yards. They are fourth in interceptions. they're pretty damn good. They've got elite corners. I think Derek Stingley's one of the top three corners in the NFL. Having a little bit of a down year, like you could argue he was defensive player of the year last year. That's how good he was. All pro player, all that kind of stuff. But they are great. Their safety, when they got Jalen Petrie back from Baylor, that dude can play. Like, they are a great defense. Like, you look at the rankings, they're first in the NFL as far as points allowed. Now, the Texas offense is comical. I understand that. But they have allowed 30 points fewer this season than the second-ranked points per allowed. Like, it's uncanny what this defense has been able to do. And as bad as the offense is, they are in every game. All four losses that the Texans have had have been a one-possession game that they've lost. So you look at this and you're like, well, what have the 49ers done this year? Oh, that exact same thing, except come out on the winning side. The Niners and the Texans play a very similar style of football. Very similar. Obviously, D'Amico, Robert Saleh, the defense is going to carry over. But it's this tough, hard-fought game where we're going to try to win it in the fourth quarter. The difference, turnovers, 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 turnovers. Like, even last week in a turnover, you know, whatever performance, and shout out to D'Amico Ryans. We got somebody from the Texans in here, which I love. They had four turnovers last week, the Texans did. It's still lost. It's still lost. So I do not expect this to be a clean, pretty game by either side. It's going to be probably one of the lowest scoring games of the week. I could see a 17-13 type whatever. What are your thoughts just and kind of how do you see this shaking out?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be hard fought. I think there's going to be field position, you know, game. This is going to be one of those things you play field position. You play some of those things. You have to take some chances on fourth down. I think those are going to be important. I think another thing that's going to be important is the Houston Texans in the red zone. If they get to the red zone, are they going to be able to score? They really struggled with that last week against the Seattle Seahawks. And the 49ers red zone defense is top 10 in the NFL right now. They've been playing pretty good. And so I think that there's an opportunity to force field goals. We need to see a lot of Kaomi Fairbairn and not a lot of C.J. Stroud, you know, finishing touchdown plays. So I think that the Houston Texans offense is going to be the deficiency for them. A lot of it has to go into that offensive line. I think the 49ers defense is still playing so good. The question is going to be, can Kyle Shanahan get this offense rolling enough to where they can go put up 20 points? I think you get to 20 points, you have a really good chance, and that's your average this season to win this game. And it's going to be about taking what's there. When D'Amico gets aggressive, Mac Jones has to just be willing to take the check down, get it out there. Everything is an extension of the run game this week. And if they can do that, they'll have success against D'Amico Ryans, but it ain't going to be easy. But Kyle Shanahan usually does good against guys who have coached with him in the past.
You talked about that 20 points. They've only scored 20 or more points twice this season. And those were both their wins. If they haven't, you know, anytime the Texans are under 20, they lose. Over 20, they win. First one to 20 wins. But with that offensive line, it's kind of funny because you have one of the worst offensive lines, and the 49ers have one of the least pass rush producing defensive lines. I know last week was not the case, but now without Bryce Huff, it's just like, man, this is not a – every week I do like a blue chip matchup, right? Like the best versus the best. This is like a white versus white bet. Like I'm trying to think of like what's the least valuable chip that you can bet, right? Like the white chip usually is. Like it's the worst offensive line in the NFL versus the worst pass rushing defensive line without Bosa, without Etur, without Bryce Huff. Like this is just like who's going to be worse? It's not who's going to be better. It's who's going to be worse between these. So talk to me real quick. Let's go through some matchups. What do you think is kind of the biggest mismatch for this 49ers versus Texans game?
I think the biggest mismatch is got to be the Texans wide receivers now against the 49ers cornerbacks. Nico Collins potentially being out, you know, Christian Kirk. It doesn't look good. And CJ Stroud's already looking for guys, you know, as it is. And he's been leaning very much on Dalton Schultz. And Schultz is a very talented player. But I think that that's where the 49ers can really put some pressure on the Houston Texans is C.J. Stroud going to have anyone open? You know, can this – that's going to give the defensive line extra time to get home. That's going to give Robert Saleh ample time to say, you know what, let's go man coverage. Let's go ahead and lock them down again and bring extra guys in pressure. And I think that is what I think they're looking at right now and saying, you know what, that sounds pretty good. Bring pressure and then kind of lock them up on the outside. It works so far last week against Atlanta. It worked really well, and I think it can this week. Good young receivers for Houston Texans, but I think that they are still very young, and missing Nico Collins is going to be huge, and I think that's a huge advantage for the 49ers.
Yeah, I like this for Pizza Warrior. He says, you know, I think the biggest matchup is the Niners' defense getting off the field on third downs. Texans' offense cannot sustain drives. They are 31st in third down conversions, the Texans' offense. They are just not sustaining drives. And so, yeah, can they execute? So, like, if I'm Robert Saleh, like, I want a lot of five-man pressures. I know last week, six- and seven-man pressures actually got the job done. But I don't want to bring that. Like, I'm just like, dude, five-man pressure, keep the shell on top, force the Texans to execute flawlessly down the field on 10, 12-play drives consistently. I don't think that they can do that. So I want a lot of five-man pressure, nickel blitzes, linebacker blitzes, safety blitzers, all that stuff. Now, interception's still not happening. Breaking all-time records for non-interceptions. Do you think that the Niners are closer? Do you think that the Niners even care about this stat and how somehow they're the most or the fewest interceptions ever for a defense to start the season?
I don't think they care that it's interceptions. I think that they care that they get turnovers. And that's the key. Last week they got one. I think they want this number to go up. You want to get about two, you know, turnovers per game. Right now, interceptions aren't coming. But we haven't really seen too many balls that have been close where the 49ers should have came up with the football. I think their best chance of ending that streak was Upton Stout, you know, a few weeks ago, and he got pass interference on the play. So it really ended that chance. But no, they don't care how the turnovers come. They could get strip sacks every single game. They'd be completely fine with it, but they want to generate turnovers. And I'm sure they're having conversations about it every week. It's a matter of time. This thing is going to break open. I'm not sure CJ Stroud is going to be the guy that they break the, you know, break the streak against. He's done a really good job. 2-1 ratio, you know, 9-4 when it comes to touchdowns and interceptions. He's taking care of the ball. He'll eat sacks. He'll throw the ball away. But he does a pretty good job taking care of it. So we'll see what happens. I would love to see him get one, though. I'm ready for that streak to end, and I'm ready for the 49ers to make some big plays on defense when it comes to turnovers.
Man, you're telling me. Yeah, like 49ers currently ranked 23rd defensively in forced turnovers. That you got to get that up. But this is kind of a Robert Saleh defense. They don't prioritize that like Steve Wilkes or even like Nick Sorensen. Well, not Nick Sorensen. D'Amico Ryans prioritizes it a little bit more. Now, I want to get some questions about the wide receiver rotation and a bunch of questions in our chat right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, Super Contest, Survivor Pools, Casino, Blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, Sonia asked this question. She says, John, with Pearsall back, which I want to put a caveat, he's still not practicing. I'm not expecting Ricky Pearsall. If he misses practice today, I don't think he's going to be back. I think you're going to get multiple limited practices before he returns. And it's kind of like, man, I'm not sure how many people you're going to return at MetLife Stadium, especially with knee or ankle or whatever issues. I don't think that's the place to do that. So you're kind of looking at week 10 for Brock Purdy. You're kind of looking at week 10 for Ricky Pearsall, just kind of where that is. But let's play this game, man, because, man, what do you do at wide receiver? Juwan Jennings has not been a positive. He has a 40% catch rate, one of the lowest in the NFL across any team, any position. That's worse than tight ends, running backs, fullbacks. He's been a negative. How does this wide receiver room shake out when Pearsall does return with Kendrick Bourne becoming even more consistent than Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, I think we've seen more of a rotation. They've definitely started splitting more snaps than they had in the past. I think, you know, Juwan Jennings being hurt kind of made that a little bit easier. They're never going to give him kind of that full X receiver role back, at least right now. I think Juwan Jennings is still considered their number one receiver. I think he'll still line up at X. Ricky Pearsall will line up at Z when he comes back. But when you get into these, you know, 22 personnel groupings, it'll probably be Juwan Jennings out there for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's a really good blocker. That's number one. And when you're in those sets, you want to be able to run. But he can also, you know, generate some space and get open. I don't think him and Mac Jones have a real chemistry together. Mac Jones' throws to him are a little off. Sometimes he force feeds Juwan Jennings when he should go somewhere else. I just don't think that they're really on target with each other right now. But I think it'll be Juwan, then Ricky Pearsall, then Kendrick Bourne, then DeMarcus Robinson. But I think they can go with kind of a little bit more of a rotation and sub Juwan Jennings out, give him some extra rest, sometimes play Bourne in his position or sometimes play DeMarcus Robinson. And I think it'll all be okay. And that'll be good, too, as they try to reintegrate Ricky Pearsall early. I don't think he'll jump right in and get all of his snaps. And I think that that's a positive for the 49ers. We're talking about four solid receivers for the 49ers here in just the next couple of weeks. As you brought up, MetLife is probably not the best place to bring a guy back who's dealing with a PCL.
Yeah, and I will say this. This is the first time that Mac Jones and Juwan Jennings have had full practice participation together. So, like, yeah, you talk about how there's that disconnect. They haven't played together. And so for the first time, Juwan Jennings, the first time this year, he is a full practice, like, first time training camp, first time preseason, first time, like, 15, I think he had one practice, then he got hurt, right? And so, like, That's important. You got to practice. We talk about practice. We're talking about practice. And so can George Kittle, Mac Jones, Juwan Jennings get on the same page? We know Mac Jones is on the same page as Kendrick Bourne. We got to see what that looks like. Now, David Gill, shout out to the legend. Would a trade for a wide receiver still be on the table before the deadline, given all the injuries and not knowing about BA's health?
I don't think so. I don't think they touch wide receiver. I think they feel pretty comfortable with who they have. Kyle Shanahan really likes Kendrick Bourne a lot. Juwan Jennings, Ricky, these are their guys. I don't think that they think about wide receiver at all. In fact, I think they're trying to figure out how they're going to keep all these guys on the roster as it is. When Brandon Ayuk comes back, if he comes back, what do you do with Sky Moore? He's handling all your punt return and kick return duties. Finally made a play in the game as well out in space, kind of showed his ability there. So I think that they're not looking at wide receiver. I think they're completely looking at defensive end, maybe a couple other positions, maybe a defensive back if they could find the right depth piece. But really, I think they're leaning into defensive trade targets and nothing really on the offense.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Kittle being used as a receiver might help. Kittle and Mac Jones were not on the same page, like, at all. And so hopefully that, you know, they're practicing together now. And so they've had one game together. That's going to grow. But also the defensive awareness of George Kittle on routes, that dude was like a freaking, he was like Saturn out there with his gravitational pull, just DBs flocking to 85. And that's a big reason why Christian McCaffrey had the game that he had. So you can scheme away players, including guys like George Kittle. And if you do that, then guess what? Christian McCaffrey's going to have another 10-catch game. That's fine. And the Niners are finally back in that position where you have multiple threats. And Kendrick Bourne is one of those. Juwan Jennings can be. Still hasn't had that game yet this year that's like, oh, look at this. Maybe he should be paid. Every single game, I feel like Juwan Jennings has lost money this year because it's been a net negative to the team. You talked about his blocking. I really hope that can return consistently. Blocking has not been consistent. He can now block by Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne had the highest blocking grade of all the wide receivers. Like, what the hell? Kendrick Bourne's never been a positive run blocking guy. But anyway, Monkey, this one came early on. I liked it. He says, updated Iron Man quote, the Niners were able to build this in an ICU with a bunch of scrappy scraps. There we go. I like it. There we go. I like to do the voice there, but that's a good one. I like it. Now, Billy says this is a trap game. They got to come out strong. I always push against the trap game narrative because the NFL, like, you're this injured. You're on the road. You're tied for first place. You got three teams in your division, former coach that everybody knows. Like, this is a game circled by the 49ers, and especially with guys like Trent Williams, who's homes in Houston. Like you've got guys that are from Texas. A lot of, I think I did a 16% of the roster played football in Texas, whether at college or high school. Like, I don't know if this is a trap game, but as a coach, Ant, what was always your narrative whenever you saw stuff like this come up?
I never worried about it because I always went into every game and I told my players every game's a one game season. I don't care what the record is. The records don't matter. It's us versus them. And this is what it's all about. It's just this one game. And as long as you do that and you keep one game seasons, you're going to be fine. But another reason I don't worry about the 49ers, they have too many young guys. They don't even know what a trap game is. They're just trying to win every single game and compete. They're figuring things out right now. You think Tatum Bethune is going to take it easy? No, he's trying to prove he's an NFL caliber starter so that way he can go get paid eventually, or he can become a starter for the 49ers. That's what all these guys are doing. Young guys, young bucks, they don't fall into trap games. It's some of the veterans who get lax because they've been dominating and handling business. That's when you fall into a trap game, not an overachieving team that's really competing every single week and every single play for everything they got. I don't think so, but you know, trap games do happen. You know, if you're going to worry about one, I think maybe later in the season with Cleveland, headed to Cleveland, something like that. But I don't think this is the one coming off a big win against Atlanta.
Yeah, I like that. Look at David. He says, I think this is trick play week. Trent catches a pass. I think David Gill is that he's been listening to that Wayne Breezy. Wayne Breezy's been harping on Trent Williams catching a touchdown pass for like 4 years. I love it, man. Aziz. Yeah, you got Aziz out there. You got Jimmy Ward out there. You've got these players that you know that are out there. And so I think that matters. What's up, Big Red Faithful? Appreciate you, man. He says, getting ready for Roy City tonight, but Saturday, Houston, baby. Can't wait to see you out there. Good luck against Roy City, man. Ooh, we used to play against Roy City. Yeah, used to be well-coached. It's a long time. Billy's got another comment. Did you see that Shanahan stat? He's 17-7 with a backup quarterback. Your goal with the backup quarterback is 500. You want to win what you lose. That's about it. Just keep it afloat. 4-1 with Mac Jones, 17-7 with backup quarterbacks. One, why are so many backup quarterbacks playing? Two, how you win with them is impressive. What stands out to you here?
Well, I'm guessing Brock Purdy's a big part of this, right? 2022, he comes in and pretty much wins everything except, you know, for when he got hurt. But I think it goes into Kyle Shanahan's ability to use any sort of a quarterback to kind of use their strengths to his advantage. And he's really good about getting a run game going and taking a lot of pressure off of that quarterback. Now, Mac Jones, he's had to do a lot for this football team. And that's what Kyle was even saying, is a lot of what was going on with Mac Jones was the passing attack was an extension of the run game. Just get the ball out quick, quick little throws, check downs underneath. And so they've really done a good job of taking what's there. But I think Kyle Shanahan does a good job of putting his quarterbacks in positions to be successful. And that's why he's had a lot of successful guys throughout his career.
Yeah. Oh, I love this question from JP. This was one of my first jobs as a coach, was I would do the opponent scouting report. And I had like this little section and it was, how do they beat us? Right. So I'd go watch this team for a couple weeks beforehand and whatever else. And I'd highlight their best plays, their best players, their energy, whatever else. But one of the sections said, how do they beat us? And so JP asked this, how can the Texans win? What way would they try to attack our defense, run or pass? Like, how do they win? You got to take advantage of our secondary, which is suspect at least in coverage, whether it's running at number 27, Jair Brown, who's played well, but still suspect against the run, or it's passing against Renardo Green, or if it's against Darrell Luter, who's held up rather well, or against Marquise Siegel. Like, there are options that are there. If you force turnovers against the 49ers and you attack the correct players, you're going to have some success against us. Now, can you do that consistently with four quarters? That's what teams have had the problem doing.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is Robert Saleh's defense is all predicated on eliminating explosives, keeping things underneath. And part of the reason he does that is he doesn't think you can consistently move the sticks. And that's one of the things the Houston Texans struggle with, right? They brought it up earlier in chat. They have 30% of the time they convert on third down. That's not great. And so I do think that when you're looking at it, it's turnovers are the big way that the Houston Texans have a chance. That's how to get short fields for that offense. that is the best situation for them. And for the Houston Texans, they've got to run the ball. And they've got to run the ball consistently against the 49ers to open things up. You know, Nick Chubb, you know, get this thing going. Woody, get the running game going for them. And then, you know, maybe they would have a chance. But it's got to start with turnovers on defense, I think. And then short fields. I don't know how else this offense consistently moves the ball. Now, matchups matter, and so things can definitely happen. But I do think it's going to be tough for Houston to score a lot of points in this game.
Yeah, first 1-20, you know what I mean? You got to get touchdowns. Both these teams kind of bogged down in the red zone. Got to get touchdowns. Now, the 49ers have been great when your field goal kicker 17 of 17 for field goals. It's easy to go out there, just keep calling chip shots because you're stacking points. But touchdowns, 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 that is paramount. So, as we wrap our show up, Ant, just want to say thank you. What do we got going on this week? What's going on Patreon? How can we support the Cutback?
Yeah, all the breakdowns are available over on Patreon. You can go check those out. Standalone shows available over on Patreon. You can check those out. And then I'm doing, you know, a game preview show. I'm gonna break down some key matchups tomorrow. That's gonna be available Friday. Game preview show on Saturday, and then a reaction show after the game on Sunday, which will be a lot of fun. And usually I go on probably right after John goes live from the game. He usually goes live. And his is a short one. And then I'm kind of like right after that, because I kind of take my time as I'm articulating from the TV in there to go ahead and do it. So it usually takes me a minute.
Yeah. So I'll be tipsy at the stadium, NRG live, for about 15 minutes after the game. So come check us out. Then after that, go get the steak and potatoes portion of breaking down the actual game from a sober person that knows what the hell they're talking about. I'm there just having a good time, man. Always having a good time. So hopefully people come out and I see my man RTPFTW. It's so hard when you're dyslexic saying six consonants in a row, but he's going to be out there partying with us. Can't wait. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate the support. Y'all spending your time with us. Let's go get that dub. Very winnable game, but man, anytime you play a top-ranked defense, and I think that this is, you know, definitely top three no matter what metric you look at, you got to be ready, and I hope the 49ers are. That's going to do it for us, and until next time, stay strong, faithful.